is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Corey Curtis leads us off with the hot takes, leaving the studio. He is a Derrick Henry hater, Floyd.
I don't think he's. I think he said appreciator.
He said he's not a Derrick Henry appreciator.
Yeah, something along those lines.
But he spent 5 minutes leaving the studio talking about all the things he doesn't like about Derrick Henry. Which I am a Derrick supporter and a Derrick believer. Floyd, how are you today on this Fireball Hot Take Friday?
Outstanding.
Good. All right, let's open it up for your call. 615-737-1025. As soon as we get you in, we will get to you. 615-737-1025. Okay. So my biggest worry about this Colts game, and I'm not going to lie to you all, I'm worried. Like, I'm not as worried as I was about the Patriots game, not as worried as I was about the Cowboys game, but I'm worried. You know, I felt good about the Chargers game. I felt good about some of these other games, Jacksonville, but I am worried about the Colts. But it is kind of going away, my worry of the Colts game, because my worry of the Colts game is the history of the Titans, and it is the fact that the Tennessee Titans go into these football games, and I feel like after they have a thrilling, unbelievable, great win, they always fall off the cliff. Beat Philadelphia, lose to Buffalo. Every time. And this team is not proven, considering that they beat Philadelphia and then lost to Buffalo, this team is not proven that they can live with prosperity or that they can win that big emotional game and then keep it going or even get better. They have not proven that. But the words of the team are at least giving me some hope that they have learned their lesson. Mariota this week talking about this game with the Colts after the big win and what they've learned and what they are, and this was Mariota.
Marcus, some people have drawn parallels to the high of the win of Philadelphia the next week in Buffalo to what you guys have experienced now. What makes you feel like this team is more well-prepared to handle the success this time?
Well, we went through it. I think if you don't learn from your previous mistake, you know, that's foolish. So, with that being said, guys are locked in. Just got to continue to have a good week of practice, focus on our process, and take it to Sunday.
So that's exactly what I want to hear, that if I feel like if they lock it in and they focus like they focused last week, I feel great about this Colts game. So, Floyd, is it wrong that I listen to these guys talk? And I just played one Marcus clip, but a lot of the guys in the locker room have been echoing the same sentiment almost as soon as they beat the Patriots. Floyd, is it wrong, without having the data in front of me that shows that this team can do it, is it wrong for me to believe that this team is going to do that against Indianapolis and there's not going to be a big letdown like we've seen big letdowns in the past?
Have you ever seen him do it?
No, I've never seen him do it.
Okay.
That's the one thing I'm missing from all of this, is having seen them do it.
Some would say that's the only thing that matters.
It is the most important thing.
Okay, then. I'd be concerned.
I know, but you've heard the same thing all week. I mean, is... You think it's all talk?
Talk is cheap.
But if they say it all week, at least it sounds like in order to be able to do it, you have to be able to articulate it.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I'd rather see nobody say a word and just go out there and do it.
Well, you know, I mean, they're asking questions. They got to say
proof.
Something.
Yeah, of course. That's the proof. Is, you know, are you going to, you're going to have to tune in and watch, see if we can do it. So, I mean, I don't, the realism of the whole thing is this. If they, in fact, want to be a contender, if they, in fact, are at that point, if they've matured to that point, then they're going to have to find a way to continue winning. I mean, we're real excited about a two-game win streak. Indy's got four, and Houston's got six. I mean, to win six games in a row in the NFL is not easy to do. To win four is not easy
to
do.
Well, the Texans have had a lot of help on that six, but don't get me started.
Whatever. I think for us to get where we want to get, we've got to win, you know, six in a row or five in a row or whatever it is. I mean, we've got to reel off some wins here. We've got to get back in it. I mean, you know, you win one and Houston loses one to whoever who do they play?
Washington.
They lose to Washington and boom, there you are.
Well, and not only that, like I know that the Colts probably aren't done with a loss, But the Colts have to look at this game like if they beat the Titans, they're right back in this race. And they look at it like if we beat the Titans, we're right back in the race. And we've already played New England, and we've already played Philadelphia, and we've already played some of the Washington. Like, we've already played some of the good teams on our schedule. We beat the Titans. We're tied with them with the tiebreaker. And, you know, Houston, who we lost to in overtime, is right in front of us. And I think Indy feels good. Now, if Indy loses this game, you know, Indy is kind of building themselves too deep of a hole for them to get out of this late in the year. Like, this is a big game for the Titans. This is a monumental game for the Colts. Like, this game may be the Colts' season.
Yeah, I don't know if I can go there, but it's a big game for both teams. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Oh, I think it's so much bigger
for the Colts. It's a division game, which makes it, you know, essential. We've already beaten, you know, we're 2-0 in the division, undefeated, all of that. All that is great. And now we've got a couple of division games in a row here, and I don't even care about the second one right now. You know, I'm just worried about this one. But, I mean, we've got to do something that we just haven't done in a long, long, long time.
Well, and on top of it, you screwed up so much this season with your AFC games by losing to Buffalo and losing to the Chargers and losing to Miami. And, you know, if we want to talk about that sixth seed in the playoffs – you know, you need to start winning some AFC games. The way to get those games back is to win your divisions.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is, if we, you know, where we stand right now, you can forget all of those that we've already messed up. If we just go ahead and win out, you know, win the AFC and the division games from here on out, we should be in pretty good shape.
Well, and you should be ahead of the Texans, or at least tie with the Texans if you beat them both. But I just look at this game and I think to myself, if the Titans, and I said this at the start of the week, if the Titans go to Indianapolis and they play focused and they play their game, they will win. It is that simple to me. If you go to Indianapolis and you play Titan ball, which we saw Sunday, we saw for the, you know, the last 40 minutes of the Dallas game, we saw for a lot of the Chargers game, basically everything we've seen since the Ravens game, if they play Titans ball on Sunday, they will win. And the only way that they don't go to Indianapolis and play Titans ball is two things. One, that they don't prepare during the week and they don't show up on Sunday, and that is at least a little bit of a concern, although the things they say make me think they're going to show up on Sunday. And then two, I think the other thing that stands in the way of this is Andrew Luck. Yeah, I mean, that's the only other thing that stands in the way.
Pretty big thing.
Now, it's a big thing.
It's a big one.
But I don't worry about their receivers. I don't worry about their offensive line. I don't worry about their running game. I don't worry about their defensive players. And I know Vinatieri is 900 years old and kicks it through the uprights every time, but I'm not even all that worried about him. I am worried about Andrew Luck, and I am worried about the Titans showing up and playing Titan ball. And I feel like if they go there and they play Titans ball, the only way that they lose is if Andrew Luck just catches fire. And I feel confident that's not going to happen. So it's if they leave here, if they pack their game. Charlie Strong used to always say this when I was on the radio in Louisville, but he used to always say, because Charlie was like Vrabel. He didn't say a lot when he would talk, you know, at a press conference, but he wasn't as good as Vrabel at making it sound like he wasn't talking about anything. But Charlie used to always say, got to pack on the road, got to pack the uniforms, got to pack the offense, the defense, and pack the kicking game. And I just feel like if the Titans pack the attitude and they pack the way that they've played the last 2 weeks and they play Titan ball on Sunday, I feel like they're going to win this game.
How do you define Titan ball?
See, that's a good question because I'm saying that every day.
We keep talking about that. I don't know what Titan ball is.
To me, this is what Titan ball is. Titan ball is you let them move the ball a little bit, but once they get to about the 35-yard line, you clamp down, and you don't let them get another yard. You blitz all night. And then I think on the other side of it, Titan ball is Mariota not making mistakes, which we have seen the last 2 weeks. And when he does not make a mistake, they are in a really good situation. They're running the ball nice. They're throwing the ball nice. Guys are making plays. But it all kind of hinges around Mariota not turning the football over. So if they go, that's Titan ball. Let them move it. But when they get to the 35.
How would Titan ball be different from Indy ball?
Well, Indy's trying to throw it for 500 yards a game. Titans are trying to throw for like 230. Indy ball is – Indy wants to win this game. Indy wants to score 48 points. Titans don't need to score 48. Titans want to score 24. Titans want to score 24 points, and every time Indy moves the ball, they want to stop them about the 35-yard line, and they may gain 10 more yards and kick a field goal. They may lose 10 yards and try a long field goal and miss it. But that's Titan ball. And if they go to Indianapolis and they play Titan ball, I think they will win. I saw one of the Eric Ebron touchdowns, you know, the highlights against the Jags. And Eric Ebron is running right across the middle of the field, and Luck just chucks it right to him, and there's nobody there, and Ebron just runs 60 yards into the end zone. That is what Titan ball does not let you do. They let you move it, but once you get to that 35-yard line, they put their heels right there, and you might move it 5 yards more, and that's it. And that has been the thing that's worked all year, other than the Baltimore game. It worked in the Buffalo game. It worked in the Charger game, other than the long touchdown breakdowns. That's worked all year. And so I am banking on Titan ball this week. If they play it, I think they will win. Do you like my definition of Titan ball?
I don't know how it's different from every other team in the league.
Every other team lets you score touchdowns.
You don't think every other team says, okay, they may move the ball, but when they get down to the red zone, we got to stop them.
Well, no, I think Dallas ball.
And then
ball,
they sell their offense on the quarterback can't make mistakes.
No. I think like Dallas Cowboys football is feed Zeke, feed. If Zeke gets 25 carries and gets 3 or 4 touches for big gains in the pass game, they feel pretty good about themselves. I think, like, for example, the teams that really rush the passer, well, they want to go sack the quarterback. Philadelphia is not about, hey, stop them at the 35 and play Philly. Philly, they want to throw it up and down the field. They want to go get the quarterback. That's how they play, and that's fine. That works for them. They're like, New Orleans wants to throw it for 600 yards a game. Titans don't want to throw it for 600 yards a game. 600 yards a game does not benefit the Titans on Sunday. The only time Mariota ever throws for 400 yards is when they're playing from behind. So, to me, Titan ball is 240 yards in the pass game, 2 touchdowns, 1 with Mariota on the ground, and the defense making plays in the red zone. That is Titan ball. Let's take your phones on the Titans and the Colts. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Two things. One, I don't feel that the Titans are overconfident, and maybe I, you know, should take my head out of my rear end and look at how this team has played in the past, and that would give me a good idea, but I just don't think they are in two. Titan ball wins you the game on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Why are you chuckling over there?
Titan ball. He just admitted that the last 15 minutes.
Well, we used to talk about Titan ball last year, about running the ball and being physical. Yeah. That's Titan ball. Well, this is different Titan ball. This is Titan ball. And do you think that my definition of Titan ball is the key to success of any game they play?
I'm a little wishy-washy on your definition.
That's how they play ball. That's Titan ball. 615-737-1025. We're live in the Game National Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. in Mount Juliet on this Fireball Hot Take Friday. And I do have one serious Titan ball question for Floyd. We'll get to that coming up next. It is a Fireball Hot Take Friday, and let me tell you something. I've had a long week, and that means there's no better way to celebrate it ending than with an ice-cold Fireball sin whiskey. That's right. You beat the team that everybody loves the most. Best way to celebrate? Fireball cinnamon whiskey. Nothing tastes so good and goes down so smooth. You need to ignite your night. You need to ignite your weekend. You need to ignite the holiday season that is approaching. And nothing tastes so good with it being so cold as ice-cold Fireball cinnamon whiskey. Goes down so smooth, tastes so great. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. It's Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We talked about how well they're playing. The fact that they've won 3 games in a row, outscoring opponents, I think, in that time, 100 and something to 39 and 29 points a game, kind of everything they've done, amount of turnovers that they've created, how good they are on third down. Quarterback's only been hit 9 times in 4 games. Some quarterback's been hit 9 times in a game or a half. They are really protecting him, and he never stares at a rusher, ever. I mean, his eyes are downfield, and some of those where he used to scramble, he's stepping up and he's still looking for guys. So he's extending plays, but he's extending them to throw. And that really is creating a lot of conversions for him on third down. So they, and then I get, and then after all that stuff, he's never lost to the Titans. So that they hopefully were very aware of the success that he's had against this organization.
Mike Vrabel. Okay, can I tell you one of my worries? I think the Titans will go and play a little Titan ball. Fireball Hot Take Friday. Can I tell you kind of one of my worries about the game on Sunday?
What's that?
And you know how Vrabel is. Vrabel, I think, is a lot like Belichick in the fact that Vrabel wants to defer the ball to the second half most of the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of become the trend.
Oh, yeah, and I get it. I understand. Because what you want to do is, the way I look at it is if you're down 14 with 6 minutes to go in the first half, you could tell your guys, hey, get one touchdown and we're right back in it because we get the ball to start the next. And so I'm always for that. But I worry about what happened in Indianapolis 2 years ago because it kind of started this way against Dallas 2 weeks ago, but it didn't get there. And in that game at Indianapolis on the road, Andrew Luck starts off first quarter, touchdown, 7-0 Indianapolis. First quarter, Dante Moncrief, 2-yard touchdown from Andrew Luck, 14-0 Indianapolis. Second quarter, T.Y. Hilton, 2-yard touchdown from Andrew Luck. That was the ball on fourth down that went right through Parrish Cox. Like, remember, Parrish Cox had the ball. Like, all he's got to do is knock it down, and you get the ball, and it went, like, through his hands and into T.Y. Hilton's hands, and then Cox got cut, like, the next week later. 21-0 Indianapolis. That's what I worry about, is that, and in the Dallas game, it could have been 21-0 if Dallas scores on the first drive and then you fumble twice. So how hard is it, Floyd, for the Titans to stay consistent with what they've been doing on the road?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, if you look at how we started the game last week with a 60-yard kick return, and we started it in Dallas with two fumbles. So
not just two fumbles. Dallas drove right down the field, missed a field goal.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's what you fight on the road. And Indy has not historically been really, really loud. There have been games that you go in there that have been loud, but not like Seattle or someplace like that. And I think that, you know, the crowd can be a factor. And I don't know how much. You know, they're planning to audible or change things or move things around. But I worry about, you know, some of the noise sometimes.
Doesn't it, though, like, take more out of the team that starts on the road? Like, that doesn't take them a little bit to kind of get – even take the fans out of it. Just the road team, I feel like, in the NFL, the Titans have been this way pretty much all season. Like, it takes them a little bit to kind of get into the game. And I worry about that little bit that it takes them to get into the game on the road – is going to be what kills them in this game. And now all of a sudden Luck's up 14-0 and you're chasing the game.
Well, but that wouldn't be Titan ball.
That's not Titan ball.
I mean,
they got to play Titan ball.
The best thing you'd hope for is 6-0.
6-0 Titans?
No, 6-0 Indy. That'd be the best thing you'd hope for.
Why?
Well, because we're not going to let them score touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
Because not Titan ball.
And that would be that's my hope for Titan ball. But like in the Dallas game, it took them a while before they got into Titan ball. Can't do that this game. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. For example, the game 2 years ago in Indianapolis, the last time they played Andrew Luck, Mariota had to throw for 290 yards. That's not Titan ball. Mariota's sweet spot right now is about 240 yards. 240. That's Titan ball. Let's go to Corey, who's going to kick us off and has been waiting patiently on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's up, Corey?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Look, I kind of agree with Corey from earlier show today that there's no trust in Derrick Henry. Let me ask you this question. Who's got more rushing touchdowns, Derrick Henry or Andrew Luck?
I have no idea. Let me guess.
They both have 14.
Like in their career?
Yeah, career rushing touchdown in the NFL. They both have 14. Now,
Andrew Luck's played like four more years.
Yeah, well, take a year and a half off of that at least because of his injuries and
stuff.
1 year. But yeah, well, and he missed a lot of other time too. But anyway, so my big thing is with the Colts, I am a Colts fan, but the Titans defense does worry me a bit. The only solace I get is the fact that the Colts took care of Jacksonville last week, and Jacksonville was the number one pass defense in the league. They had only given up 9 touchdowns beforehand and like 1,800 yards before last week. Well, the Colts put 3 on them. 3 touchdowns on him and got some good yardage. So, you know, can they get pressure on Luck? That's going to be the question. I know Vrabel's already said that, but I don't put any trust, even with a bad Colts rushing defense, I don't put any trust in Derrick Henry to do anything for the Titans. It's going to have to be Lewis or somebody else stepping up for him.
Well, see, that's the problem, though, if you're an Indianapolis fan. Thank you for the call. I don't think, you know, the Titans' number one source of offense has not been Derrick Henry this season. Now, it is possible that Derrick Henry is the number one source of offense in this game, but if I'm an Indianapolis fan like that guy is, I'm not looking at it like, hey, man, I'm not worried about Henry. We'll be fine. I'm worried about Davis, and I'm worried about, you know, how every receiver has kind of been pitching in lately, whether it's Batson or Jennings or Sharp. I'm worried about Deion Lewis. Like, there's a lot of different things to worry about. Mariota running the ball. I mean, those are all things to worry about in this game. I try not to take too much stock out of the Jacksonville win for Indianapolis last week, because something is so amiss in Jacksonville.
Right.
And I haven't watched enough of Jacksonville to be able to dissect what it is, but I don't think that Jacksonville defense last week was the Jacksonville defense the Titans faced in week three.
Yeah, I don't know. You could be right. But, I mean, they were the number one passing defense in the league.
I know, but something seems so wrong with Jacksonville right now.
I don't know.
These guys are too busy out there at that British strip club or whatever it is where they didn't pay their bar tab. Josh is up next on the Colts. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. Just want to say I think that the Titans players and coaches can take a lot of information from the Philly game earlier this year into the Colts game. Frank Reich was the offensive coordinator for Philly last year, so there's some similarities there. I think both quarterbacks have similar play style, Wentz and Luck, both big, strong, dynamic guys. And then I think also the tight ends. Obviously, there's two good tight ends on both teams. So I think that, putting a lot of pressure up the seams and in the middle of the defense. So the one thing with the Colts offensive line, they're really good up the middle with the center and two guards, but I think there's a little bit of weakness out on the edges with the offensive tackles. So I think in the dome or in Lucas Oil Stadium with Harold Landry shooting upfield, I think that's going to cause some problems for Andrew Luck because, you know, on that turf, you can really a cat-like defensive end can make a lot of noise. That's why Dwight Freeney and those guys were so good for so long up there in Indy. So I expect Harold Landry to shoot off the edge and give Andrew Luck problems. He'll have to step up all day into the lap of Casey and the linebackers. And I see it being a close game, but I see the Titans edging it out with defense and no mistakes on offense.
Thanks,
so,
Josh.
Thanks, guys.
So Ian brought this up in the production meeting today that I thought was a really good point. And you know how we're talking about the wide receivers? Like, if I were to ask you, okay, who's going to make an impact? Who's going to catch? Let's say the Titans throw a game-winning touchdown on Sunday against the Colts. And I ask you, who's going to catch the game-winning touchdown on Sunday against the Colts? You know, there's a lot of different places that ball could go. You know, it could be Davis. That would probably be everybody's first guess. But it could be Batson, the way that they're throwing the ball to him. It could be Jonnu freaking – it could be any of those guys. Ian brought a great point in the Patriots game. You didn't know who was going to rush. You know, it looked like they were going to blitz, and then four guys go, but Correa's dropping in coverage, and it's Woodyard who's rushing the quarterback. And that has been something Dean Pease has done well all year. And I wonder in this game, you know, he was talking about Landry shooting off the edge. And that I look at them like the wide receivers of, I don't know who's going to be the one that rushes to get to Andrew Luck, but I do think Dean will have some kind of plan. And we won't know who it is that's going after Andrew Luck.
Well, I mean, there's absolutely no doubt he'll have some kind of plan. I don't think that's the worrisome part for me. The worrisome part for me is that you can have a straight shot unblocked and not get there because the ball comes out so quick. And we play. It reminds me of when Peyton was there. You know, we got to a point where you didn't even want to rush him because you knew the guy could come scot-free and you're still not going to get there. Now, would he have to hurry up the throw a little bit? Yeah, he would. It'd be a little bit shorter and a little bit of all of that, but you just didn't get any hits. I mean, he's been hit 9 times in 4 games. I mean, people get hit 9 times and a half.
Oakland.
I mean, I don't care who it is. This is the NFL, 9 times in 4 games. So, I mean, that's an incredible number. But I think that's just an indicator of how they're doing things. They know they can't get him hurt again. They know he can't take hits. So what's he doing? That ball is coming out in an instant. And he's smart enough and aware enough and instinctive enough that he's got a real good idea where the ball's going.
I do love the fact that you can tell the entire organization is doing everything in their power to protect him. The coach with the game plan, getting the ball out, drafting the guard at 6 overall, a lineman last year in the first round. Like, they are just desperate to help him. And I get it, because if you lose him, you got to start the whole thing over.
Oh, yeah. And you've got to start all over. And there's absolutely no chance you'll draft another Andrew Luck, because there's probably not one out there anywhere.
Let's take your phone, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Is it so simple on Sunday that it's one question that people like me probably don't want to bring up? We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, every Friday at 5:45, join us, including today, where we will select our picks in the Big Six games in both college and pro football action. Six-Pack Picks is presented by Porvu. Floyd, who accused us of cheating last week in Six-Pack Picks.
Accused you? I caught you.
You didn't catch me.
I caught you.
How can you cheat in a pick session?
You're standing over Ryan's shoulder and Ryan's saying, you want this one? No, next one.
Collusion.
You want this one? There you go.
So Ryan sends the text message today at like 10 in the morning. I'm at Urban Juicer with my girlfriends, and we're sitting there and, you know, drinking our juices. And Ryan sends the text message at 10:12 with the picks. And Floyd goes, he told me you guys picked the games on Wednesday. Floyd is already cheating because he's upset about how much he's losing. Jared and the GM are on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Marcus has not been picked off the last few games. Only had one pick in the last 4 weeks. You attribute that more to the offense coming together and him making better decisions in it? Or is it attributed more to the fact that his arm is fully healed now?
Well, I mean, I think it's a lot of things. I think the protection's probably been better. I think the routes have probably been better. I think his understanding of the offense and what he's seeing defensively is better. And, you know, I guess probably some of his health. And, you know, the ball security is always going to be a huge focal point for us and a huge key every week. When we can take care of the football, we have the ability to do some good things.
Marcus Mariota has taken care of the football ever since his two little fumble issues in the Dallas game against the Cowboys. And I wonder
That's one game.
I said since.
That's what I'm saying. That's one. New England's the only game we played
that's
since.
That's about a game and a half. About a game and a half since the Dallas game.
Okay.
So here's my big question as far as Mariota's concerned. And this is a very important question. And this is that... is it as simple as if good Marcus shows up Sunday at Indianapolis, they will win? And if bad Marcus shows up Sunday, they will lose? And the only reason I say this is I feel like the common theme in every game except for the Baltimore game was turnovers. Hey, against Jacksonville, did he turn it over? Nope. You win. Against Philly, did he turn it over? Yes, once. But that was just enough, and that 3 points could have cost him the game because they ended up going to overtime. But it was one turnover, and it wasn't in a critical spot. They lose. They win. Charger game. If you don't turn the ball over in the red zone right before the half, how much does that change that game? So I wonder if Sunday, if the story of Sunday is, does good Marcus show up or does bad Marcus show up? And what is bad Marcus? Fumbling it twice in the first quarter because, no offense, but Andrew Luck will score a touchdown on that throw that Dak Prescott threw into the hands of Kevin Byard. That is going to be 6 points for the Indianapolis Colts.
I think I was thinking about this last night. We're every day of just about every week, we're asking something about when will we know about Marcus?
Mm-hmm.
When will we be able to tell? You know when we'll be able to tell? When we quit asking questions like that. When you don't have to question whether or not he's going to play, when you don't have to question whether or not he's going to be good or bad, when you don't have to question those things, you just take it for granted because that's the way he plays. That you don't, I mean, you don't let's watch
is
Green
Drew
Bay.
Is Drew Brees going to screw up today?
Yeah, you don't watch Green Bay and say, oh, well, you know what? Unless Aaron Rodgers screws up again, they're going to win. I mean, that's not the way it works. You know Aaron's going to give you a certain – now, you may worry about the defense. You may worry about the run game. You may worry about all this other stuff, but you don't worry about him. And I think when we get to the point that we quit worrying about Marcus, then he'll arrive.
Well, I've never – now, I remember the one thing, and I heard the midday show talking about this today that I agreed with when they were kind of comparing McNair and Mariota at this point in their career was, I never lived through years 2, 3, or 4 of Steve McNair because the team wasn't here. So I never remember it. And plus, I was 8 years old. So I never like kind of lived through that. But I never felt like they were going out there on a Sunday and McNair was going to lose them the game. Like, I never had to ask the question, you know, hey, if bad McNair goes out there, are the Titans going to lose? And I never had to go out there. Now, there was a point in time before he kind of took off as a quarterback where Steve maybe didn't win you the game, but you never felt that way. With Marcus, I certainly feel that way. I feel like if he lofts one of those little, you know, push passes into the air that gets intercepted early in the game and Indianapolis turns that into points, I'm thinking, oh, no, it's got to earn back those 7 points or whatever it is. So, yeah, your point is correct about whether or not he will arrive, but we're not trying to claim that he's arrived yet. We're trying to say, okay, you know, if good Marcus shows up and does not turn the ball over, do they win Sunday? And I say, I think yes, because I think your defense is that good.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I mean, if he doesn't turn it over, it's certainly going to help. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I mean, that'll be paramount. I just think there are so many different aspects to this game that we don't know about yet. Mm-hmm. Because we have not been watching Indy. You know, we have not, or I have not, paid attention to Indy.
I've been breaking down the All-22 film, and yeah, I got the grades in there.
If you look at the... you look at the numbers, you look at all the stuff that they've got going. I mean, it's, you know, the truth is, if they play like their numbers indicate, I mean, Marcus is going to not only have to not screw it up, he's going to have to play really good.
So I watched one Indy game. You know, I watched one Indy game where I sat down and I was like, I'm going to watch this. And that was 2 weeks ago on the Titans bye, and I watched the Indy-Oakland game. Because, like, the other – I think it was the Rams and the Packers were playing at the same time. But, you know, I got the new – I got the two TV set up in the living room, and I got the Sunday ticket, which, by the way, I went to Electronic Express today to go get some more TVs for the new house. Floyd, you're going to have to come over and check out the new house when it's all ready because Electronic Express going to hook it up. But back to my point, I was watching the Indy-Oakland game, and so make of this what you will – but I watched that because I wanted to see if Derek Carr stunk as bad as the numbers and everybody was making it sound like. And I came away from that game thinking, man, I think the Titans can really beat Indianapolis. I really don't. I mean, Luck is still really, really good, and I'm not taking anything away from him. But I'm not worried about Eric Ebron and Dontrell Inman, and I'm not worried about those guys. Marlon Mack, and I just – there was nothing I saw on the TV that I was like – man, that was really good. They had breakdowns defensively. Oakland should have won that game. And Oakland sucks.
You know Ebron has cut more touchdown passes than Marcus has thrown.
I'm telling you, I've watched one game. You're talking about the game. You keep throwing numbers, and
what,
I get it.
Do you know what chances of that? You're talking about a tight end that was just cut, just picked up this year, on the heap, has caught more touchdown passes alone than your quarterback has thrown to an entire team. I mean, that is just phenomenal. That is unbelievable.
I'm just telling you what I saw in the one Colts game I watched.
All right.
I thought Oakland should have won the game, and it was a tie game with 5 minutes left. And the stats, I think it was 42-28 was the final, and so you see a 42-28, and you think, man, that was a real rear-end kicking. It was not. And Indy was as lucky to be in that game as Oakland was lucky enough to be stupid to hire John Gruden. Like, and so maybe I'm basing it off of that one game and I shouldn't, but that's how I feel about that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Let's go back to your phones on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. And again, the question here for me is, how much of it is good Marcus versus bad Marcus? If good Marcus shows up Sunday, do you think the Titans will win? 615-737-1025, and I think they will. Ellie is up next on the defense. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Ellie.
Yeah, hey, good Friday, everybody. Yep. I think Marcus is evolving right in front of our eyes, and I'm not worried about him. I think he'll get us 21 to 28 points. If the cornerbacks and the safeties don't look in the backfield And if the front seven hits the wide receivers when they catch the ball, the running backs when they catch the ball, hit them hard like Ebron, he'll float like a 10th. And I can see us winning 24-14, 28-10 easily.
Thank you for the call, Ellie. I mean,
I'll take it.
But there were a lot of ifs in that. And
I'll
that's
take
the
it.
Thing that bothers me about this game, is there were a lot of ifs. I really just don't, like, I don't think the Colts are that good. Like, I know Floyd's worried because they put up a lot of points on Buffalo.
I mean, I'm not a tremendous stat guy. But when you've got a quarterback and you're playing a quarterback, you know, this quarterback is the number two touchdown thrower in the NFL behind Mahomes. Mahomes, all we've read about Mahomes, all we've heard about Kansas City, he is like four touchdowns behind him. And who's he throwing to? Tight ends. He's not throwing to world-class speed guys. He's throwing to tight ends and running backs and stuff like that. I mean, that's the part that concerns me. How is that possible? You know, in the NFL where you've got the Rams and they've got receivers right and left in between running up and down the field and Goff is throwing the ball to them. And I mean, they're just scoring touch. This guy is doing that, is better than that, with tight ends. I mean, that's like trying to play, a game of basketball with five basketball players. Tough.
I know, but I think so much of it, too, is the discrepancy in the teams that they've been playing lately. The Jets and Oakland and those teams.
When you set number two in the league, throwing to tight ends, I don't care if you're playing Tennessee. It's good.
You mean the Titans?
No.
The Vols?
Yes. I don't care who you're playing. If you're trying to compete in the NFL, throwing to tight ends that just got cut.
Ebron did not get cut. They let his contract expire.
Well, what do you call that?
Letting his contract expire. I don't know. He was a free agent.
Contracts
they let him go.
Contracts don't expire in the middle of the year, first of the year.
His contract expired at the end of last year. He was a free agent and they signed him.
Yes, a free agent. When you get cut, you're a free agent.
I know, but when someone doesn't re-sign you and your contract just ends and it's over, that's not getting cut.
You think there's a difference?
Yeah, like Avery Williamson didn't get cut by the Titans. They just didn't want to pay him the money the Jets were willing to pay.
Yeah, let me tell you, there is no difference. If you cut him or you let him go for nothing, just let him fly, I mean, it's being cut.
So you think Washington cut Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, if they let him go for nothing.
That's what they let him go for.
Then that's the same thing.
I don't think that's the same thing.
But what'd they get in return?
Nothing.
Wow. What do you call that?
Guy played out his contract. That's playing out your contract. That's why you have a contract. 615. Now, his fifth-year option wasn't picked up in terms of Ebron. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. I do have a stat I want to get to. And I know that overall it doesn't look great, but it has worked the last 2 weeks for the Titans. And I wonder if it will work on Sunday. And we'll get to that next. It's shared in the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
I feel like the confidence level is there for this team. And do you see that in the receivers and guys who are being asked to make plays?
For sure, for sure. And when it comes down to it, I think we can build off of it. We can continue to use the momentum. So guys are flying around. I thought today was good practice. Just got to continue to build off of it.
Fireball Hot Take Friday, Mariota talking about the wide receiver. So I was trying to pile this during the last break. And the last three games, so ever since the Baltimore fiasco, where I think the Titans really had to reassess how things were going, the Titans and Mariota have been able to hit a lot of different guys catching the football. For example, Corey Davis, since that Chargers game, it's three against the Chargers, six against the Cowboys, and seven, that's 16 catches in the last three games for Corey Davis. Deion Lewis has 12 catches in that span. Jonnu Smith has seven. Cameron Batson has five. Taywan Taylor, who did not play against the Patriots and probably won't play against the Colts, had three. Darius Jennings has two. And then there's guys that are making plays, like Firkser's making a play, Stocker with a big touchdown catch against the Chargers.
Right.
Like, it's going this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy, that. I mean, if you're the Colts, How much of a problem is that if Mariota continues the clicking with the wide receivers and it being a different guy over here and a different guy over there? And a, like, if you're Frank Reich, you're probably worried about Davis, but Batson can beat you too. Like, how much of that plays into helping Mariota and helping the Titans on Sunday against Indy?
Yeah, I mean, again, if they're playing what they've seemed to have played a lot in the past, which is too deep, I mean, it really doesn't matter who gets the ball. You know, it's not like you're trying to stop a single guy, a number one receiver. You're just trying to blanket the field and make sure everything goes underneath. And then the theory is, if you continue to do that for 10 or 12 plays, somewhere along the line you're going to get a sack, they're going to get a penalty, you're going to fumble the ball, you're going to throw an interception, you're going to do something because you're going to get impatient, and then the defense will get the turnover, and that's the way it works.
Sounds like that defense is the perfect defense for Blake Bortles.
I don't think they're going to spend a lot of time matching up. Now, if we get to a point where we're running the ball really good and they've got to do something to stop it and they bring an extra guy down in the box, now all that changes a little bit. And you either, if you're going to continue to play zone, you got to play three deep. And if you're not, then, you know, you're playing man free or you're playing zero coverage or whatever it is. And you know, once that happens, then you start looking at it's more along the lines of what we saw last week. Mm-hmm. It's more, you know, now you start maybe looking for Davis and see who he's matched up with and what. But other than that, you're just running, you know, you've got a series of patterns, calls you make, and the type of patterns you call are something to beat too deep.
Well, and I don't even know who the Colts corners are. I mean, who are the Colts corners? Like, and I'm just going through it. Like, it clearly tells me Marcus is not looking at an individual guy, but is looking at something that he wants in these last three games. And I'm taking it in order. The last three games, Davis 16, Lewis 12, Sharp 8, Jonnu Smith 7, Cameron Batson 5, Cameron Batson 5, Derrick Henry 4, Taywan Taylor 3, Luke Stocker 3, Darius Jennings 2, Anthony Firkser 1, and Marcus Mariota 1. So that's telling me that Marcus, in one game, for example, against the Chargers, hit Tajay Sharp 7 times. Then he turned that around in the Cowboys game, and he kind of spread the ball around to everybody. In the Patriots game, he really looked to Davis and Jonnu Smith. So I don't know what to make of that, but I feel like if you're Frank Reich, that would worry you that, okay, you know, I'm worried about Lewis running the ball. Henry running the ball could be a problem. Mariota running the ball could be a problem. And now, even if I take Davis out of the game, he's just going to throw it to Batson 6 times. Like, that would scare the crap out of me if I was Frank Reich.
Yeah, I mean, again, he's not, in theory, if he's playing too deep like we're talking about, I mean, he's
everything's
saying,
in front of you.
Yeah, you go ahead. You're not going to be able to throw those guys down the field. Now, you want to hit the check down, you want to hit the tight end on a check down or a crossing route, or you want to go ahead and do it. You know, it's going to be 2nd and 6. We're right on schedule.
I like 2nd and 6 for the Titans.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to depend on, you know, how well you can do that. And I know that LaFleur's been around guys who have been pretty knowledgeable about too deep in some of the patterns and concepts. That's like we were talking earlier, the Gordon, the right off the bat last week against New England, when Gordon hit us right down the middle.
44 yards.
Was that it, 44 yep. yards? That was too deep. That was against too deep. So what they do is they take their best outside receiver, move him into a slot, and now he just runs up the seam, splits the safeties, and the next guy in line, the guy that's got to run underneath him to keep you from throwing the ball to him immediately, is Woodyard. Well, you got Woodyard trying to cover Gordon. Guess what? That doesn't work. And if Gordon can split the two safeties, then in theory, the ball's going to get there before the safeties get there, which is exactly what happened.
Why didn't they do that more often, the Patriots?
Well, hopefully, after they saw Gordon in the slot and they're playing too deep, they got out of it, you know, because if they would have stayed in too deep, they probably would have gotten more of it.
William is up next on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 615-737-1025. Go ahead, William. William.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, give me Tennessee Titan, a tight down favorite. Andrew Luck. I'm asking him to give me 2 to 3 interceptions and 2 going to be a touchdown. I'm not worried about them. The team they beat, they weak team. They never seen a difference like Tennessee Titans. And that's my thing.
Thank
it's
you,
going to be an interception party.
Okay, so I appreciate your call. I disagree that Andrew Luck's going to throw a bunch of picks. I do agree with this, though. And I think, Ian, you said that Willie McGinnis was talking about this on NFL Network. He wants to see the Colts play a good defense. This is a good defense. Now, I don't know how good the Titans defense is. I think you and I stand by our claim that they're not the number one. Like, they're not the best defense in the NFL.
According to Bill.
Do you think they're the best defense in the NFL?
I can't say that.
Okay, so we don't think they're the best defense in the NFL, but they are a good defense. They are a top 5, top 10 defense.
Oh, they're
in this
good.
League.
They're
they
really
are
good
legit.
Defense. Yep.
So we will see. We will see, because I keep hammering home the fact that Andrew Luck and the Colts have gotten right by playing a bunch of losers, by playing the Jets, by playing the Bills, by playing the Raiders, and by playing the Jags, who it looks like have quit in the middle of their season. Like, I think that's a great study to ask somebody, what's happened to Jacksonville? Because I don't even know. Like, we haven't been watching them. They play the Steelers this week. I mean, I expect the Steelers to beat them by 100. Like, they have been trending so – like, it's like every game they get worse. So I don't take a lot of credence out of the Colts beating those loser teams. Now, Floyd does. And so that's where it's going to – like, the rubber's going to meet the road on Sunday is good defense versus Andrew Luck and the Colts. And I'm kind of going with the good defense in terms of how I feel about that. More of your phone, 615-737-1025 on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And coming up next, one thing I think they should be able to do on Sunday, two things I think they should be able to do that I know Floyd's worried about. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game.